Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Well, the Montana Public Service Commission has given us its share of drama in the recent past. Another episode unfolding now. PSC president, used to be chairman, but I guess they El Presidente now, Brad Molnar, under investigation for alleged workplace misconduct. The allegations are led by, fellow Commissioner Jennifer Fielder. She requested the governor dismiss Molnar from the position or take other action. Molnar admits his style may not be to everybody's liking, but he says this investigation is a frivolous waste of taxpayer money. It's illegal, and believes Commissioner Fielder's request to the governor should be denied. Meanwhile, the agency is unpacking a new merger proposal by Northwestern Energy and Black Hills Energy that will impact thousands of ratepayers in Montana and around. And then we also have to consider the whole energy picture here as well. Where are we going to get the energy that we're going to need to move forward as a society? PSC Commissioner Brad Molnar joins us in studio today on Voices of Montana. Brad Molnar joins us in studio. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, and thank you for sharing your listeners with me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I'll say how this started, and everybody, I think, is familiar with you. You're a former state senator. You've served on the Public Service Commission for some time, and you know, when people, and I've said this too, you know, you've got a certain style, right? Mm-hmm. And not everybody has a liking to that, but I think,
really?
Yeah. Surprise. But in my experience, Brad, everybody has respected you and, mm-hmm. and your opinions on that. And there's a likability about that as well. So, you know, when I see something like this and you come on and say, hey, can I talk about this investigation? I say, yes, let's open this up. You know, it is a kind of a little drama field here as well. I've got a summary here that can go through it, but I'll just start by questioning. All right.
Sure.
You have been under investigation for
about 3 months now.
And for what?
I don't know. They won't tell me what I'm accused of. They just said that they didn't like the way I performed in the workplace with my coworkers. And to my knowledge, when they said that, I had no idea what coworkers I wasn't on good terms with.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to that, one time they called me and said, we've gotten a complaint. And I said, well, about what? And they said that you told a joke with sexual innuendo. And I said, I have never. And his other gal said, yeah, I heard you say it. And I said, what'd I say? She told me, and I said, there's no sexual innuendo in that. And yeah, there is. Where? 3 times they explained it, and I said, oh, well, I guess somebody could interpret it that way, but like 9 people laughed and 1 didn't. I assume the one that didn't is the one that complained. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah. I said, well, whoever it was, I still didn't know. I said, just tell them I apologize, and I'll watch it around them. And they said, okay. And they said, and something else. I said, and this is Lucas, our chief legal, so you got to listen to him. He says, you've been making fun of your title. I said, yeah, I don't like being president. I think it's chairman is more accurate. And he says, yeah, but you call yourself El Presidente de la Grande Mucho Macho Man Molnar, Comandante of all the forces in the 5 districts. I said, yeah, everybody laughs. I think it's funny, and so do I. He says, I don't. I said, why? He said, you're saying that you have to be a mucho macho man to be president, and therefore women can't be.
Mm.
And I said, Lucas, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He says, well, that's the way the game is played. And I said, well, then I'm going to be guilty a lot. And turns out I was right.
Well, and things like that. I mean, boy, if you can't have a little grace in the workplace,
right?
It's hard to get things accomplished. So you don't know exactly the nature of the complaints.
No.
I guess you have maybe somewhat of an idea, but it's not. You can't say that that's entirely accurate. What we do know is that one of the fellow commissioners, Jennifer Fielder,
mm-hmm.
Sent a letter to Governor Greg Gianforte. It had some allegations in it as well,
a
number of them that you guys addressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of that being that she is requesting either that you be suspended or suspended from your current position. That's very serious.
Well, it is. And it's actually in our internal policy manual, which she wrote. In order for me to be removed as president, takes 4 votes. So that's unanimous, not counting me. To ask the governor to suspend requires 4 votes. Mm-hmm. We've never had a vote. So what she's doing is outside the policy manual. But to me, for her or anyone to ask the governor to overturn an election is so serious. It's a total attack on democracy and replacing it with authoritarianism.
I thought it was a rather inappropriate move, too. There are processes already established through the PSC that will flesh these things out.
Right.
It may not always be timely. It may be uncomfortable at times, but there is a process that has been employed here. So I kind of see this as what I complain about the Democrats doing all the time is lawfare.
Yeah.
And trying to and kind of muddy in the waters here a little bit. Let's address some of those allegations, though.
Sure.
Okay. One of them is, and this is again, and you can go to Facebook. I mean, because your representative, your attorney,
Matthew Montfortin.
Yep. Has placed links to your response, to the complaint itself as well, and to the governor's response. So go find Matthew Montfortin on Facebook and look up those links there. There's also been some stories written about this. One of those claims is that you threatened retaliation against staff involved.
About 2 weeks ago, maybe the last 10 days, Commissioner Fielder wrote me an email and said that your comments in the press may be considered retaliation. I think that's what she's talking about. To simply disagree with what they're saying is not retaliation. For me to hold a press conference to expose what's going on is not retaliation. For me to be censured or deprived of my position to overturn my election is actually retaliation against a whistleblower by every definition in law. I have not, matter of fact, in my email to her, when I responded back and I said, Jennifer, I've been here 7 months. I've crossed swords with everybody about something. I'm trying to make reforms and not everybody likes my reforms. I said, name one, and quite a few of those have been with you. Name one time I have ever retaliated against anyone. And she couldn't do it. So if I haven't retaliated in the heat of battle, why would I retaliate against a charge, an allegation? I don't even know what it is. I don't even know who made it. I don't know who the witnesses are. I did get a letter from a reporter that asked Alana Lake, our executive director, you claim there's 3 complaints. Yes. How are there 3? Have you gone to Molnar and said, here's 3 complaints? She said, no, we were saving them up. Well, I have to assume it's saving them up for this purpose. We have 2 processes, formal and informal, to handle these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I sit on the board that handles the complaints, the committee. I have never ever has anyone else in the history of this gone for an independent outside investigation that will wind up in the press. I'm it. But when you're saving up cases, complaints, and not telling anybody, how dangerous can they be? How accurate are they if the person can do it anonymously? If the witnesses are anonymous? If I can't say, you say at 9 o'clock on September 12th, I said this, yeah, I was in a conference. How can that be true? So I can't defend myself if I don't know what I'm charged with. So when I do defend myself based on process, that I'm told that if I do an interview, my attorney can be there, but he can't speak. I can't record it so to make sure that when they do put it in the report, it's actually accurate. Why would I not report that? Why should the public not know that? There's nothing. They said, oh, this is confidential. There's four criterion to be confidential. None of them apply here. And if it's my case and I want to shirk my confidentiality, and I say, I want the people to see it, how is that retaliation? It's retaliation against an inane policy, not against a person.
Well, and in fact, that's what it was in your response was, that's the highest duty that you have is transparency.
That's right.
In a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fighting for transparency. The letter that the Commissioner Fielder sent to the governor was marked confidential, and my attorney gets into that. You can't, okay, the governor did not sign a non-disclosure agreement. She did not file this under protective cover because it can't be confidential. If you send a letter to the governor,
yeah,
it's public.
Yeah,
I don't care what you stamp on the corner of the page, yeah. Okay? And it should be public. The public has a right to know. You can't hide it in the dark. Everything I've done is to shine a light on what they're doing, and they're scurrying like cockroaches. Everybody's trying to blame somebody else. And I'm still doing it. For me to come here, for my attorney to respond, I'm going to take her allegations and my response and the governor's response, and supposedly by the 5th, supposed to get a response from the attorney they hired to persecute me. And I will put all of those in the hands of every member of the Public Service Commission. They need to know. I'm not doing this for me. I didn't need the money. I don't need the job. I'm 75. I'd rather take a grandkid fishing than put up with this. I came back to ensure Montana a solid energy future and a more professional level of commissions. If I'm going to spend all my time fighting this, why would I do that? They need to know. The people that work at the commission need to know, as I told them when we discussed a signature page on the internal policy manual, and when I signed it, I am not signing this, I'm not accepting it, I'm not voting for it, until due process is guaranteed for every member of the commission, period. And that's what this fight is about.
Brad Molnar, president of the Montana Public Service Commission, of course, a public servant, formerly in the Senate as well, and served on the PSC for a full two terms.
8 years.
Yeah, 8 years. And that goes back, was it 2006? It was early in 2000,
well,
right?
I was elected in 2004, took the oath in 2005, and I served until the beginning of 2012.
Montana Public Service, again, oversees our utility rates in a lot of ways, a lot of utilities, service quality, policies for electricity, gas, telecom, transportation, with more. They got staff, engineers, economists. They handle a lot of technical issues. There are a lot of laws that regulate our utilities and maybe not enough of them are simply black and white. We are talking with president of the Montana Public Service Commission. That's Brad Molnar, elected president as he was elected into the commission in this 2024 election. Served two full terms in the House and two full terms in the PSC, as we talked about earlier, Brad, and one full in the Senate. There's an investigation, claims of just misconduct, really.
It's professional misconduct, far different.
Okay. What's the difference?
Well, misconduct can be that I'm pushing you, shoving you, bullying you, whatever. Professional misconduct is am I politically correct in the way I approach my coworkers at work? Well, you know, you've got 40 people working there. Occasionally somebody's going to be having a bad day, a good day. Something happened in their life, they're sensitive about something, and somebody's going to say something. It doesn't have to be me. You know, we have a policy for that. We have a process to take a look at it. And our first step is, you know, why are you here? Go talk to the other person. Try and resolve this on your own. You know, and the second one is, okay, look, you know, you were told don't tell jokes like that. Your department head is going to sit down and talk with you. You know, it's just a graduated thing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all are resolved by just go talk to them on your own, or we'll talk on your behalf.
The Montana way is to, let's chat, let's talk this over. Did I offend you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You don't,
even though the policy allows, you don't go out and hire an attorney and an investigation team for a public finding just out of the blue. It's never been done before. Other commissioners have now we got a feeding frenzy of them coming in. But other commissioners, I've had to sit and look at what they've done. I've never recommended anything other than fact find and come back, or sit down and talk to them, or, you know, can't you handle this on your own? You're both commissioners, crying out loud. That's all it's ever been. And suddenly, I'm public enemy number one with no voice, no constitutional rights, no ability to do anything, and they want to tack my hide to the barn door and let it dry and crack. Well, I don't want that.
And you're known as a conservative and a watchdog,
yeah,
as well. Cody's taking a call here. He got a call from Bill from East Hamlin, called in and appreciated what you were doing here,
yeah,
in that regard. But you know, that's the political nature of things. Sometimes if you're trying to make reforms, you're going to run into opposition.
Well, the big reform that really got things going, and I think was part of the cause of this, is I said the Public Service Commission staff will no longer meet in unannounced meetings behind closed doors with Northwestern Energy staff, and nobody knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, did that happen?
Oh, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And particularly, it was a very narrow ruling on my part. House Bill 490, Fire Mitigation Act. Fire mitigation stuff was a big part, about a full day, of the rate case. So everything in the rate case is also in the legislation. So I said we can't talk about it because the rate case is still ongoing. We haven't ruled yet. So if they want to talk about that, they can talk about process. Where do you want to have your public meeting? Stuff like that. But it has to be, send in an email and we'll answer it. If you feel you must have a face-to-face meeting, do it in the commissioner's conference room. We will record it video and audio. And people then will know. It'll be public process. And if they want to, congratulate you, take you to court, whatever, that's part of the process. The public has to be involved. It's a constitutional right on like four different constitutional rights. And I got outvoted 3-2. Well, the fight was on. So I took it from that kind of a quiet meeting to a work session so the whole public could see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What are you doing shining the light on this? We want secret meetings and you're making them public. Yeah. So Northwestern didn't appreciate it at all. Some of our staff, you don't trust us. I trust you. Law is, you can't talk about something in a rate case. And that's what this is. Well, are you going to expand it? Yes, I will. We're the only commission in the nation that allows closed door meetings between utility staff and regulated staff.
Isn't there sensitive material shared at some of those meetings sometimes that have
know.
A justifiable need for some privacy?
I trust staff to not do that. But we have had staff that got hired away by utility. We found out later stuff was given. You can't have it. It has to be a process. When's the last time you called a company and the phone automatically didn't say this call may be recorded?
Right.
It doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I had a big blowdown with their new lobbyist, Mr. Green. I held it in the commissioner conference room. Our attorney was there. Mr. Green's an attorney, and the whole thing was recorded, and it was on 490, and it was hot. You know, I don't care if it's hot. You know, people had a right to see it. They had a right to know what their position was, my position was, and what the resolution was.
And I think Bill in East Helena right now is very much appreciating that. I mean, that's one of the reforms that you've talked about there. I have been an advocate for more energy here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I want to just some of these other allegations, I think it's fair to talk about. Some of them are wrapped up in my mind about the process. Initially, you guys feeling being illegal, but claim you're not subject to PSC workplace policies, held a press conference to publicize what is normally a confidential HR matter. She says, in this complaint, that was a violation, threatened to block funding for an investigation, and refused to participate in fact-finding unless allowed to confront his accusers. I feel that those complaints are kind of wrapped up into due process, which has been your major objection.
My objection was and is, okay, I still don't know what I'm accused of. I don't know who accused me. Coming to find out there's three complaints that I never heard of. They admit that they were saving them up. Where's the due process in that? If you found out, you know, they drag you into court. Oh, what am I charged with? Well, we're not going to tell you. I'd like to face my accuser, just like the Constitution says. Well, too bad for you. What? Yeah. So it's so bizarre. It's almost beyond comprehension.
Then how did it deteriorate to this?
Well, it deteriorated to this because I said, they said, we want to interview you. And it was the purpose of the interview. Well, we want to get your side of the story. I said, my side of the story to what? What am I accused of?
Fair.
And they said, well, we can't tell you that. Well, I want to know the name of my accuser. Well, you don't get that. Well, I want my attorney to be there. Okay, but he can't speak. I said, wait a minute. If I was accused of a triple murder and I'm sitting in the interrogation room and my attorney shows up and says, unless you're going to charge my client, let him go. They got to let him say that. Mm-hmm. How did I lose all these rights? It's because they said I don't have those rights. And I say I do. And I say a new hire at the PSC has been there one day has them as well.
Is there the process for resolution on this? I know it's playing out in a bit of a muddy way. What's the timeline for it?
I don't know. There is a timeline. I'd like to think this will be over with before I retire from the PSC in 1979. I can't guarantee it.
1979?
Whatever. 2029. There you go.
Thank you. Yeah.
I've been at this a long time.
You have
time.
Been here a while.
Okay. Yeah, it's my understanding that we're going to court. And we will say the PSC is not following its own rules, and they really have to. And that's actually a law. And considering it takes four votes and there's only one, I think that's pretty clear. I asked to have a work session on Friday to pull back the letter based on that. Couldn't get a hold of enough people. I think they were dodging it because they knew what it was about. Mm. I can hold it on Thursday. I may try for that. In the meantime, it'll already be before a judge. I am trying to end this thing on a positive note because this is hurting morale at the commission. It's hurting the view of the commission. We look like a bunch of squabbling children, and it's a due process fight. It's extremely important. It's important that I stand up and say, where's your proof? And they offer some.
And I appreciate that. I mean, we got 2 minutes left in this segment, and I think we're going to move on.
Okay. Yeah, there's actually more important things.
There are some things.
Molnar's still getting beat up 36 years later.
and that's the thing I want to lead into. You know, how you talked about you want to put a fast end to this because there's some decisions you have to make. How do you feel the others feel about that? I mean, and maybe we'll talk about this on the other side because I maybe didn't give you enough time. How is this impacting everybody there at the PSC?
Morale is low. We have offered a job offer for a new chief legal. Our chief legal is moving on to work for Montana Dakota Utilities. And so we've got an opening. And so we checked to see what the other openings are for chief legal and other divisions. We're offering more than any, and zero have applied. Mm. Why would you come to a place where you're going to be in a catfight, squabble? You know, you said what? I got my rights. You know, like a bunch of eighth graders. We have a... job offer for external affairs. And we've gotten some applications, none in the last couple of weeks. So it hurts. It hurts the ratepayers. There's no tax money in this. This is all ratepayer money. We are hurting the ratepayers. And it's got to stop.
With Montana Public Service Commission President and Brad Molnar with us as we're going to move off of this investigation. I thought you, thank you for answering some of those questions. Yeah. And thank you for coming in here as well. Meanwhile, the agency is going to be talking about this new Northwestern Energy and Black Hills Energy proposal. So we're going to move to some energy questions here. But I got a couple of calls we'll get to. And Nancy called in, and I'll just throw this out your way, but couldn't hang on. I wanted to wait until this break to get to some of these calls. So Skip and Lisa, stand by. But smart meters, she put one in. The question was that a good move on my part? I think there's been some conflict in companies that have been wanting to force their customers into smart meters, or at least requiring them if there's any kind of change of status in their service. So what's your thoughts as PSC president?
Well, we were fighting about that back when I was in commission, you know, 04 through 12.
Yeah.
And it got resolved after I left. It really wasn't part of that. I didn't follow it that much. And it came up in Yellowstone Valley, which I'm a member of Yellowstone Electricity Co-op. And I, in defense of a friend of mine that was also a Yellowstone Valley customer, I got them to change their policy from here's your smart meter to is it okay if we put this on? And Northwestern is supposed to ask. And their version of ask is in your bill, you get this, you know, all these coupons for stuff. And in there is a, hey, by the way, we're going to put up a smart meter unless you call us and tell us no, as opposed to is it okay with you?
Little opt-in versus opt-out.
Yeah. And I know that Commissioner Fielder, since I were talking about her, was fairly dubious about some of the stuff. And but they always talked about the efficiencies. Well, then comes the last rate case. And right in the middle of that is here's this huge amount of money for smart meters. Mm. Well, everything's efficient if somebody else pays the cost.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, you know, being able to hack into the signal, see if you're home or not, robberies, all of that is just things people talk about. I don't know if it actually ever happened in Montana. Meters catching on fire. Is it this model? Not to my knowledge. So was it in your best interest? I doubt seriously is you're any better served by it. Was it to your detriment? Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and I appreciate that we have to move and how difficult it can be. I believe we need to move forward in some of these ways. But we want good data so we can make good decisions about them. Let's take another phone call here real quick. We're going to go to Skip in Hamilton on line one or line A. Skip listening on KLYQ. Citizen Skip, good morning, sir. You're on with PSC El Presidente, Brad Molnar.
Good morning, Skip.
Good morning, Brad, and thank you, Tom. And Brad, I watch PSC meetings, I'll say frequently, over the last many months.
You need to get a lifetime.
on a PBS Skip. Channel. And I've watched the meetings, and I can almost feel the tension sometimes. Just looking at the way the cameras are, looking at the board and seeing just watching looks on people's faces and such. But then there's a lot of people sometimes in the peanut gallery. I listened to a lot of conversations about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think it was, when Brian Bird was sitting there with everybody and they were throwing questions at him. And then also the executive vice president from Northwest Energy.
Crystal L.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions as to how you would stand in a way that would be best for the people of the ratepayers in Montana on a couple of general things. And one is, and I had asked you this once before, probably 6 or 8 months ago on a channel, and it had to do with whether you believed and where the board would stand on deregulating Northwest Energy, or in addition to that, maybe getting more, I don't want to use the word control, but more of your thumb on the pulse of what's happening with our co-ops. Is there some way that we can get some more fairness built into what ratepayers have to pay? Because I look at bills and I see a lot of what I call creative billing. The things that are really nebulous charges, and everybody gets away with them, and it's like it builds up somebody's caviar fund at the utility. Do you have any general ideas about a direction to take the PSC so that it's better for the people of Montana, and maybe get some of the soap opera out of the PSC board? I'll leave it at that and let you have some fun with that.
Sure.
Thanks, Skip.
I think one of the big things we can do to make the PSC far, far more efficient, and this would be based on what they do in South Dakota. If a question about the PSC's ability to regulate comes up in their legislature, they don't handle it. They refer it back to the Public Service Commission. The only reason, and, you know, MDU is almost never before the commission or before the legislature on commissioned issues. Northwestern's there all the time. You know, we don't like this. We don't like that. You know, they're constraining us. And MDU get up and say, leave us out of this. We don't want to be part of this bill. So what they've learned in South Dakota is you've hired these people, you know, our staff, all of which are very, very highly competent economists and rate setters and rate analysts and all of that. You know, very hard to find these people. They have degrees, you know, master's degrees are very, very common. Legal staff of six. So let them do their job. You know, the laws are already there. So to take away the ability of them to look at something is probably not in the best interest of the state, quite often the utility, or the ratepayer. So the legislature there does not insert themselves into every little thing. And I think that has to be the way it is. You know, we're elected and people are hired. If we do anything wrong at all, they take us to court. That's your check and balance. You really don't need the legislature saying you can't do this. I personally killed four of the five bills that Northwestern pushed last time just by walking in with facts. I didn't give them any hoop-de-doo, and Northwestern's people were, you know, name-calling and derogatory and demagoguing. I just said, here's the facts of the matter. They wanted appointed commissioners. The first bill was by Larry Brewster from here in Billings. It said that the utilities would give the list of nominees to be a commissioner to the governor. In other words, would choose their regulator. Yeah. And the governor said, I want it on my desk.
Well,
I said, no, you don't. And they said, what do you mean? You guys are all the time fighting. I says, that's not my fault. I said, look at this. Here's all the commissions in the nation. The ones in yellow are elected, not appointed, and 8 of the 10 are in the bottom 15% of the nation for utility rates because their loyalty is to the people that elected them, not to the utility that nominated them, not to the governor and his major donors. That's the difference. Democracy is messy. We are loud. We are doing our job.
Brad Molnar, PSC president. Let's take one more call here. Lisa, listening in Miles City on KMTA. Good morning, Lisa, and welcome to Voices. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have been an accused and the accuser, and I'm calling in to talk about how important due process is. For 600 years in Europe, the governments and the Catholic Church were going around calling people witches and burning them at the stake. So when the migrants came, fled to America, they put that in our Constitution that we have the right to due process and it has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt what you're being accused of in a court of law to be guilty in a court of law. So I just wanted to put that out there because it's really scary lately. There's a lot of been finger pointing and accusing people of crimes, and they have no due process. They're not able to defend themselves, and to me, that's very scary.
Lisa, so, thanks for that comment. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Lisa, you and I are soulmates on that one. I'll tell you.
Yeah, and due process is something that you do have to protect, and as you said earlier, that's something that really is at the heart of this.
I would be $20,000 in legal fees to the good if I just said, whatever it is I did, I'm sorry. That's all I had to do. You know, no, exactly what I'm accused of. I want the name of my accuser. I'm entitled to an effective counsel. All of these things are granted to everybody for some reason, but not me. I was told you get due process at the end of the investigation. My attorney said, actually it attaches at the beginning because he's an American.
Finishing up here with Montana PSC President Brad Molnar in studio. Brad, appreciate you coming in.
Yep.
We always talk a lot of complex issues at times. I'm just going to ask, what is on your plate now? We got just like about 3 minutes left here. And you said you were doing some things. You were trying to bring some reforms.
Right.
What are they?
Well, the reforms in the commission is I want to have open transparency in meetings between our staff and the other staff
and regulated
staff.
Yeah, gotcha.
Which is absolutely critical. I've talked to commissioners in about 20 states now. They all say, you what? No, really? locked doors.
So they have that kind of transparency then.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's common. It's common. Yeah. We are the uncommon. So I want that. And in the case of the internal policy manual, I'm going to go through it again. And I asked Alana Lake, our executive director, to go around to all the department heads and tell them that I want all personnel to be able to offer amendments to the policy manual because it's their policy manual, you know. And then they bring those to the commission. If one of those doesn't make it to the commission, they can bring it forward individually. We're going to redo the manual, which would include due process. Processes of how things move through, just small things, pregnancy leave, whatever the case might be, I want to bring reforms, and those reforms have to bring a higher return to the ratepayer. It can't just be a bunch of Pollyanna stuff. And one of the things I'm working on, and most people have never heard of this, it's actually really, really, really big for people that are served by MDU. It's called the MISO MVP Tranche 2. I'm one of five commissioners, therefore dragging in five states. MISO wants to be able to, what's called postage stamp. If you build a most valuable project, which is all renewable, if you have a wind farm in, say, Kansas, and Denver wants to buy the electricity, they want to be able to take the cost of that project, including the transmission line, and not charge the people of Denver. Charge everybody. So the people in served by MDU would be paying for this transmission line they never got spark from. So five of us went together, and we're going to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and saying this is, you know, illegal. Supreme Court's already ruled cost causer has to be cost payer. Mm. The Energy Act of 1984, federal, cost causer is cost payer, and just fair play, cost causer is cost payer. Well, Black Hills is part of that. They did not oppose it, and MDU did not oppose it. So I'm saying, why not?
That will be something we'll have to pick up on another day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's actually very exciting. It's very exciting for me.
It sounds kind of cool, yeah,
yeah,
to understand it. Hey, yeah, thanks for popping in here. Appreciate that. Thanks for your public service. You know. Yep.
Hey, it's always fun, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. And we'll follow up on this. We'll have more. We'll look for a resolution and then, you know, get back to work. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.